We do appreciate the presence of each one this evening. Thankful that you've come to be with us. And hope that you can come back as the gospel meeting continues, Lord willing, through Friday evening. I'm certainly happy to be here, and it's wonderful to be associated with you again. And Christians in this area whom we've known for years and learned to love and appreciate so much. Tell others about the meeting, and let's see if we can just fill up all these pews. It's much easier to preach to a full house. But it's easier to preach when there are preachers in the audience. And so tonight we have preachers in the audience, and that ought to make it easier. And you know, they need preaching too. We need preaching, and all of us who preach the gospel need to be encouraged, as all saints do. Tonight, I want us to talk about hell. It's a very unpleasant subject in many ways, because when we use the word hell, we immediately think of a place of eternal punishment. But the King James translation of the Bible, that has been the number one version for many, many years in the United States of America, uses the word hell sometimes to refer to the place where the dead are, and it doesn't always refer to that place of eternal punishment. There are different words in the original text that's translated hell. And of course, there is the word Gehenna that refers to that place of eternal punishment. But there's also the word Sheol, a Hebrew word in the Old Testament, and its corresponding word Hades in the New Testament. And in the King James Version, these words are rendered hell. But we're going to notice tonight not only passages where the word or words that's translated hell is found, but we're going to refer to some other passages of Scripture where the word hell is not found, yet passages that teach this place of eternal punishment. And so we hope that all of us profit tonight as we study together. As we look at these words translated hell in the King James Version as well as in other translations in the Scripture. First of all, we want to study some passages where the word Sheol is found. If you have an American Standard Translation or if you have a New American Standard Translation, you'll find the word Sheol in these passages. But if you have the King James Version, the word Sheol is rendered hell. And some people have drawn the wrong conclusion about the place. When you find the word Sheol in the Bible, it's not talking about the place of eternal punishment, but it's talking about the unseen state, that region where the dead are. It's really what it's talking about. You know, Jesus told us a story about the rich man in Lazarus. In Luke chapter 16, the rich man died and lifted up his eyes. The King James translation says, in hell. But the word should be rendered Hades. And of course, Hades is not a translation, but it is a transliteration of the word. And what we mean by that is the corresponding English letters to the Greek letters. And so, in the English, it's H, A-D-E-S, the English letters. And so there were the corresponding Greek letters talking about this unseen world or unseen state. And we find that Jesus told in the story of the rich man at Lazarus that this realm is divided by a gulf. And it was such a gulf that it could not be crossed. And the Lord pointed out that it was impossible for the rich man to come across that gulf, nor for Lazarus to come across the gulf to the rich man to dip the tip of his finger in water and thus to cool his tongue, as the rich man requested. Well, It's unfortunate that the King James translation renders this word hell, because people have drawn the wrong conclusion. They have drawn the conclusion that this is the place of eternal punishment. But it's not. It's the realm of the dead. It is true that the rich man was being tormented. When he died, he lifted up his eyes in the Hadean world and was tormented in a flame. So we don't have to wait till the judgment day when Jesus says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire," for the torment to begin. There are those that teach that souls sleep, that the dead are unconscious, and they pervert statements in the book of Ecclesiastes, "The dead know not anything," but you know it says under the sun. And there's a vast difference between saying they don't know anything where they are and saying the dead know not anything under the sun. So my father died in 1998. My mom died in 1985. My mom and dad don't know what's going on here in this earth. That doesn't mean they do not know what's going on where they are. And we'll learn tonight as we look at passages of Scripture that they do know what's going on where they are. And some who are dead are on the side of the gulf the rich man was on, where they are tormented, as he said, in this flame. And he begged for Abraham to send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue, because he said, "I'm tormented in this flame." So let's look first of all at the Hebrew word Sheol in various passages of Scripture. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 22, Moses said, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell." Well, that's the lowest region of the Hadean world. "And this fire shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains," as Moses said in Deuteronomy. So the word there is Sheol. In 2 Samuel 22 and verse 6, David said, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me." So here hell is associated with death and the snares of death. So when a man dies, he goes to this place, Sheol, called hell in the King James translation. Now in the New American Standard Version and better translations, it's rendered Sheol, and it's not rendered hell. But a lot of people have drawn some wrong conclusions because of the King James translation that's been so popular and for many, many years, and I use it, and I still love the beauty of the language that's there. And I find it very profitable. But yet in a study like this, we need to point out that they did not translate the word. If they had transliterated it, it would read Hades, and that's how it reads in many translations. And what we mean by transliterate is you take the corresponding letters in each alphabet. And so you take the English letter that corresponds with the Hebrew letter, or in the New Testament, the Greek letter, and that's how you come up with Sheol, and that's how you come up with Hades. So, the New American Standard Version said, "The cords of Sheol surrounded me." So the cords in this unseen world called Sheol surrounded David, he said, in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 6. We read that this Hebrew word, the unseen state, is found in Job 11 and verse 8. Job said, "It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do, deeper than hell," or deeper than Sheol. And of course that's down in the Hadean world, as we commonly call it. So he said, "What canst thou know deeper than Sheol," or deeper than Hades? And some seem to think that Hades is located in the lowest part of the earth. In fact, when Jesus died, the Bible said he descended. Of course, he went into the Hadean world. He descended into the lowest part of the earth, whatever that might be. And we'll notice some other passages of Scripture that indicate it's in the heart of the earth and so forth, this region known as Hades. The Bible tells us in Job 26 and verse 6, Sheol is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. In other words, God can see into Sheol. You and I cannot look into that place. Cannot see into that place. But God can. And when God looks into that place, it's naked. He sees everything that's there. God can see every soul that's there. Every person who's died and gone on, and so it's all naked before him. And it's a place of destruction, and this place of destruction has no covering. It's covered from you and I. You and I cannot see it, but it's not covered from God. He can see this place. In Psalm 9 and verse 17, the psalmist said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, that is Sheol, and all the nations that forget God. So here, when people are wicked and God destroys them, he turns them into hell or into Sheol, the rim of the dead. And that's where they go. And of course, it's separated by a gulf, Jesus teaches. And the wicked would be on the opposite side of the gulf of what the righteous are on. This unseen state called Sheol is used in Psalm 16:10. Where David speaks concerning Christ and his soul being in this region. And the Bible said, thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol. When Jesus died, his soul went to Sheol. And naturally, we would draw the conclusion that it did not go on the same side of the gulf that the rich man was on in Luke 16. But would be on the same side of the gulf that Lazarus was on when he was in Abraham's bosom in Luke 16. So Jesus went to this region called Sheol, and he did not stay there because he arose the third day. So he stayed there for 3 days. He said, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ did not stay in the cemetery long enough for his body to corrupt, and he didn't stay in this Sheol or the Hadean world but 3 days. In Psalm 55 and verse 15, the Bible said, let death seize upon them and let them go down. Go down, quick, that is alive, into hell, that is Sheol. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. So because wickedness was in their dwellings, in their families, in their homes, when they die, they're going to go down to Sheol, where the wicked are. And that's where they're going to dwell until the resurrection day. And this unseen state called Sheol. In Psalm 86 and verse 13, the word is found, great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. So Sheol would be the lowest, the category where the wicked are, would be the lowest section of this unseen world, the lowest hell. And some translations read the depths of Sheol, which would mean down in the bottom of it. And some think it's in the very center of the earth, where it's located. We'll have more to say about that later. In Psalm 116 and verse 3, the Bible said, the sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell, that is Sheol, got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So in this region, if you're on the side of the gulf the rich man was on, you're certainly in trouble. And you're certainly in sorrow as he lifts up his eyes at Hades begging for water to cool his tongue. And of course, Sheol is the Hebrew word for the place that Jesus referred to as Hades, the Greek word. But notice in Psalm 139 and verse 8, the psalmist said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. The word of God's up there. If I make my bed in hell, that is Sheol, behold, thou art there. God is there. And you know, I think about the song, He's Everywhere, He's Everywhere, the old hillbilly song, but God is everywhere. Whither can I go from thy spirit? Well, you can't go anywhere and get away from God. Jonah thought he could. But while he was in the belly of the whale, and God saw him, he couldn't get away from God. There's no way that we can get away from God because he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. And so he is present even down in the Hadean world. In Proverbs 5, verses 3 through 5, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter. How bitter? Like wormwood. She's sharp as a two-edged sword. That's pretty sharp. Her feet go down to death, but not just death. Her steps take hold on hell, that is Sheol. Sheol, the side of the gulf where the wicked are, is where the prostitute is headed. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 27, her house, that's the house of the prostitute, her house is the way to Sheol. Well, somebody said, everybody's going there. Well, not to that compartment where she'd go. She'd be on a different side of the gulf. And one side of that gulf, you can be comforted in Abraham's bosom. But that's not the side of the gulf that the prostitute goes. Her house, her way is to hell. She's going down to the chambers of death, eventually eternal death. Proverbs 9, verse 18, he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. The dead are in Sheol, and the wicked dead are in the deepest part of Sheol. The depths of Hades are Sheol. In Proverbs 15, verses 10 and 11, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh thy way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell, that is Sheol, and destruction are before the Lord. That is, he can see into that place. It's in his presence. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? If God can look into Sheol and see what's there, and he can certainly look into your heart and mind and see what's there. There never has been a thought that passed through your heart, and God didn't know that. There never has been one thought you ever thought that God didn't know about. There is nothing hidden from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And we just need to remember that. No secrets so far as God is concerned. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise. The wise man builds his house on the rock. And that's above to the wise, the way of life is, that he may depart from hell beneath. And so, the lowest region of the dead, Sheol. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he'll not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from Sheol. Well, now somebody said, how could that be possible? Is that not where all the dead go? Well, there's two compartments. And here he's talking about the parts in the lowest region. And he's talking about that part where the rich man went when he died. You beat your child with a rod and deliver his soul from that part. And now it's the point that a man wants to die. And when he dies, the soul departs to be with God, who gave it, and he goes into Hades, goes into Sheol. And if he's wicked, he goes down in the lowest part. And if he's righteous, he'd be in the upper part. Deliver the soul from the lowest region of Sheol. Proverbs 27, verse 20. Hell, that is Sheol, and destruction are never full. It doesn't make any difference how much longer time lasts. Then it will fill up. There'll always be room in Sheol for the dead. Never full. Never full. And now you know, there are some nations get pretty full. Population growing. But people die, and where do they go? Sheol. Never will fill up. No matter how long time lasts, hell or Sheol never full. Isaiah 5:14, therefore Sheol hath enlarged herself. May need to enlarge itself sometimes, but never full. Her mouth opened her mouth without measure, and her glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Well, that's one place I don't want to descend into. Oh, it'd be all right in the region where Jesus went, in the upper region, the place where Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. And that's where the dead are, the righteous dead. Well, let's look at this passage, Isaiah 14 and verse 9. He's talking about Nebuchadnezzar the Great in this passage, the old king of Babylon. He said, Sheol from beneath is moved for thee. He's dying, and Sheol is moved. Now Sheol's going to meet him. And that's where he's going. And so he's going to meet him at his coming. And what does it say? It that is Sheol stirs. Here I go again. Sheol stirs up the dead for old Nebuchadnezzar the Great. And so it stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones. And now lots of kings had died before Nebuchadnezzar died. And they're down here in Sheol. And they're stirred up to meet him when he comes down. Remember asking the question, art thou become like one of us? You mighty king, have you become like one of us? Yes. He was brought down a notch or two, wasn't he? So it stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, all the kings who died and gone on before old Nebuchadnezzar, they're watching him come now. It hath raised up from their throne all the kings of the nations. And in Isaiah 14:15, he said, yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the sides of the pit. And here it's called the pit. And it's described in the scriptures as a terrible place. It's the unseen state. Isaiah 28 said, because you said we have made a covenant with death and with hell, that Sheol, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And that's what folks do in this life. And they end up in this region we're talking about, the lowest Sheol. In Isaiah 28:18, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with Sheol shall not stand. And you know, there are some places we just don't want to go. And even though when we die, we're going to go to this region, we don't want to go to that lowest region. Ezekiel, I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall. And when I cast him down to Sheol with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden the choice and best of Lebanon. All that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. This place is located in the heart of the earth, apparently. And then when he talked about Jesus dying, he descended into the lowest parts of the earth. And that's where it must be located. In the nether parts of the earth. And the lowest region would be down there and more to the center. In the heart of the earth. Ezekiel 31, they also went down into hell, that is Sheol, with him unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm that dwelt under his shadow. All these people going down to that place. Ezekiel 32, the strong among the mighty shall speak to him, that is Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They'll speak to him out of the midst of hell. With them that help him, they are gone down, they lie, uncircumcised, slain by the sword. That's where Pharaoh is today. Right down there with Nebuchadnezzar. They shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war. Down there in Sheol, the unseen state. Jonah. He spoke of it symbolically when he was swallowed by the whale. He said, I cried for reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. He spoke of the fish's belly as being Sheol. And somebody said, well, you see, it's not a real place, man. It's a fish's belly. You know, he's so close to death that he spoke of it as though he's already there. That's the truth of the matter. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as Sheol, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied. Death cannot be satisfied, no matter how many people die, they just keep on dying, gathered unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. This place will never be full. There'll always be room for many more. And now let's look at the Greek word, Hades. It's the corresponding word now that we've been talking about. In the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word Sheol. In the New Testament, it's the Greek word Hades, but it's talking about the same place. In Matthew 11 and verse 23, thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. New Testament words, Hades, Matthew 16:18, the gates of Hades would not prevail against Jesus building the church. Well, what's that have to do with? When Jesus died, his soul went to Hades. But not on the same side of the gulf the rich man was on. He was comforted. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom and comforted. But Jesus did go to the Hadean world when he died. And that's where you and I are going when we die. In Luke 16:23, the story of the rich man in Lazarus, the rich man died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Somebody said, that's just a parable. The Bible doesn't say it's a parable. You just go home and get your Bible, and you find where the Bible says that's a parable. The Bible said there was a certain rich man. Now, was there? The Holy Spirit said there was. I'm not going to accuse him of lying. Jesus said there was. I'm not going to accuse him of lying. There was a certain rich man, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Laid at his gate, desired the crumbs, fell from his table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember. He's conscious. He can remember his lifetime. Acts 2:27, Jesus died. Where did he go? He went to the Hadean world. Now, not on the same side of the Gulf the rich man was on, but on the same side Lazarus was on. Cause thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades. Jesus' soul went into Hades, but it was not left in Hades. His flesh did not see corruption, because it said, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus went to the Hadean world. In Acts 2:31, David was prophesying, he's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. That is, Christ's soul was not left in Hades. Neither his flesh did see corruption. It's unfortunate the King James Version renders it hell. But it's really Hades in the original. It's where the dead are. And it's separated by a gulf. And the wicked's on one side of the gulf and the righteous on the other. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell, that is Hades, and of death. Jesus has the keys of this Hadean world, the unseen world. Revelation 6:8, I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and Hades followed with him. And this would be the realm where the wicked are. Revelation 20:14, death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. And that's what's going to happen when the Lord comes back at the judgment day. All people who are in the Hadean world are going to be resurrected. They're going to come out of the Hadean world. All we hear is lost, and they'll come forth, and then we'll be judged the last day. I don't know when that is. Maybe tomorrow, for all I know. Revelation 20:14, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And of course, it's talking about the part of Hades where death, where the wicked dead are. And they're going to be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now let's look at the word Gehenna that's translated hell. We've looked at Sheol, we've looked at Hades, now let's look at Gehenna. This is the word that's used with reference to the place of eternal punishment. The place we usually think about when we use the word hell. In Matthew 5:22, Jesus said, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now that's not Sheol hell. That's not Hades hell. That's Gehenna hell. That's the eternal hell. Place of eternal punishment. Greek word, Gehenna. Matthew 5:29-30, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. This is Gehenna hell, eternal punishment hell. And the people who are there will have a body. Jesus in Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talked about the resurrection and compared it to planting a grain of wheat or some other grain. God gives it a body. And when the resurrection day comes, that part of us, our immortal soul that's in the Hadean world, will thus come or into a new body that's immortal and eternal, will be raised incorruptible. Apostle Paul compared it to sowing grain. He said, it may chance a wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as it pleases him. Farmer goes out here in the fall and he has some little brown oval-shaped seed called wheat. That wheat's in that body. He plants it, but that's not what comes out of the ground. The body that comes out of the ground is green. The body he plants is brown. The body that comes out of the ground is a little stalk that looks like grass, and it is a form of grass, wheat grass. And the body you plant altogether different. So is the resurrection of the dead. Thou sowest not that which shall be, it may chance a wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as it pleases him. You can be happy you are. You'll have a prettier body. I couldn't let that pass. And we'll all have a better body, an immortal body, when the resurrection day comes. But look at Matthew 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Now folks can do things to destroy your soul, lead your soul into hell, teach you false doctrine, mislead you, and cause you to be lost. But they cannot destroy. Only God can do that. Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But don't jump to the conclusion, since it said destroy, that means annihilate, because it doesn't. It's eternal destruction. And so it's in the process of destruction, but it never ends. The consciousness never ends. In Matthew 18:9, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. That's Gehenna hell. Warn thee, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. When he's made, you make him twofold more the child of Gehenna hell than yourselves. The Greek word. Gehenna, place of eternal death, is what we're talking about. Matthew 23:33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of this eternal Gehenna hell? No way to escape. Mark 9:43, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Never shall go out. And you'll not go out of existence if you go there. It's eternal, on and on and on and on and never end. Mark 9:47, your eye offend you, pluck it out. Better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than tipping two eyes to be cast into hell fire. I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And that's God. God is the only one who does that. James 3:6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Gehenna hell. Furthermore, there's the Greek word Tartarus or Tartaroo. That's translated hell. 2 Peter 2:4, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. This is the Tartaroo, or Tartarus, hell in 2 Peter 2, where the angels were cast. And Mr. Vine says, it's neither Sheol, nor Hades, nor Gehenna hell, But it's the place where those angels whose special sin is referred to in that passage are confined to be reserved unto judgment. That's what Mr. Vine says about this place in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. Now look at this passage in Matthew 3 and 10. And the place of eternal punishment Jesus talked about. Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now that's Gehenna fire. That's the eternal hell. In Matthew 3 and verse 11, I did baptize you with water under repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now that's not what the Pentecostals think it is. You know, they claim to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, this is eternal. This is an eternal baptism. And that lake that burns with fire and brimstone, they don't want that. I certainly don't want it. Matthew 13:12, whose fan's in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, the fire of eternal hell, unquenchable. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Hopefully no one here. But they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now that's Gehenna hell. That's the place of eternal punishment. In Matthew 18 and verse 8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life half or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. That's Gehenna fire. There's no end to it. It never ceases. Eternal fire. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. We don't want that. We don't want to go there. I remember up in, or down here in Lee County years ago, burning some brush piles. Boy, it can really get hot. You get around those brush piles and you think about hell. And I thought about it. And I certainly wouldn't want to go and end up in a lake of that and mix some brimstone in with it, fire and brimstone, for an eternal death. In John 15:6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. That's Gehenna fire. That's the eternal fire. Look at this passage. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting fire, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Yes, it's everlasting fire. But it's everlasting destruction in fire. Never ends. No stop. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Going after strange flesh, that's homosexuality, becoming more and more prevalent. Going after strange flesh, what's going to happen to them? They're set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Yeah, people who are fornicators and people who are homosexuals are going to this place, this eternal fire. Jude 23, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We need to do what we can to pull people out of the fire. In this place of eternal punishment. Revelation 14:10, the saints shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. You imagine going to hell and be there eternally in the presence as the angels look on. Holy angels. And in the presence of the Lamb. Here's the Lamb of God who died for us, looking on in his presence. And all of these occupants of watching the smoke of the torment ascending up forever and ever. And they have no rest. No rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever received the mark of his name, no rest, eternal torture and torment in a lake of fire and brimstone. Revelation 19:20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Somebody said, cast alive. Yes. Conscious, alive, eternally punished. The devil down there with them. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone with them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the presence of the devil any longer than I stay here on this earth. And he's the worst enemy any of us ever had. He's out to get us. And he'll do everything he can to take us to hell with him. How much more wonderful it'll be to be in heaven with God than to be in hell with the devil. You talk about extremes. We're talking about them. There could be no more extremes between God and the devil and between heaven and hell. But Jesus gave up heaven for 33 years so you and I could go. He died on the cross to redeem us. Are you a Christian? Are you ready? Have you prepared? If the Lord came tonight, could you go to heaven with him? Could you be caught up together with the saints to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? You're subject to the invitation. We hope you'll come. While together we stand and sing.